I don't, none of the other people are going to listen to this, but I figured I'd share this story of a bizarre thing that happened recently. It was on December 26th, the day after Christmas. I was trying to go to every Half Price Books in the Bay Area on that day because something I'd wanted to do for a while, and they happened to have a 20% off everything sale. So I was doing that. But I had to get gas on the way to the final one on my particular journey that was in Berkeley, California. And so I stopped at the gas station, and I was looking at my, I decided to put some oil in my car. So I was looking down at the engine, and then I hear this car driving real fast. And I look up and I see this white van speed by. And I said to myself in my grand uncle fashion, that guy's going a little too fast. And so I looked back down at my car because I was pouring oil in there. And then I hear this blam. And I see that this white van has crashed into a car that was at a stoplight, running that car into a person on the opposite side who was going the opposite direction. And all these police come screaming around the corner in with their sirens blaring. I had heard the sirens and I was like, oh, maybe they're chasing that guy. Turns out they were. And then the white van is now mostly disabled. Cannot function as a van anymore because of the degree to which it smashed into these cars. Turns to the left, and I see the driver jump and roll out of the van. And the van then coasts into a building and slams into the building. And then the guy, he gets up and he starts running right past me, just like 1 yard from me. He's just running full speed away from me with like a literal bandolier bandit style. This is bandoliers for bullets, but what do you call it? The little bandit handkerchief over the mouth thing. He was doing that. And a cop comes speeding after him on foot, who's just jumped out of his car, and he's like, hey man, they're coming back around. You gotta get over there. And what a wild situation to all happen within like a few feet of my person. Meanwhile, another person is there at the gas pump, and wearing a velvet kilt and a full beard, and holding their head in alarm and surprise. It was a very, very curious situation, let me tell you. It looked like everyone who got slammed in that car was okay-ish. They were moving around. Some other cops came over and checked on them. But it was this whole wild scenario, and then I had to get out of there and go to Half Price Books and get my discount. But I guess one of the wildest things about it is that not notable enough to make the news. I haven't been able to find anything about it. Just another day, I guess, in this holiday season. So that's what I got for you.
Did you hear that? What was
I
that?
Did.
I heard that.
Okay, there we go. That's good. Listen to this.
That's pretty.
Yeah, dude. Oh, it's so good, Brandon. You got to get yourself one of these, or you're not a real podcaster.
Yeah, I guess you should.
I think you should. Listen to this, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah. Joe and Timmy's Whack Attack Hour.
You got to do anything you can to make this thing seem like a genuine production, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Welcome to the morning zoo.
As soon as I got one of these things and I started using it on my live streams, I just noticed engagement was through the roof.
Yeah.
People just loved hearing these dumb sound effects. I kept talking about my TV that had broken, and I kept being like, my TV broke. Or I would try to do them at the same time. My TV broke, so I'm playing this game on my computer monitor, that sort of thing. It was hilarious to me, and yeah. Maybe to one or two other deranged individuals.
I'm thinking of putting some different ones on my Dream Deck here. I'm not going to use
definitely,
all of these.
It shows you that those goofy DJs from the 80s and 90s were onto something.
They sure were.
It's just they had honks and augas, you know, and then we can have access to all of our video game sound effects and such.
Bingo!
See, that's how it goes. And Jaffe, you realize that you can do multiple pages. I reserved the upper left button on there to be a second page. You didn't realize that? You can make another page, and then you can just throw other ones on there. And then you can just have, like, another page in the lower right corner of that second page until you have just, like, 100 pages. The one I just bought for myself is, it has 32 buttons, because I have set up a scene that has volume sliders and stuff, so I can increase and decrease the volume of my video game, my soundboard, my microphone, my Discord buddies, my music player, if I have a music player going. So I have all these volume sliders on this one scene, which is kind of neat. But that's mostly for live stream stuff. I got a bunch of new live stream trinkets. I would describe them as toys if they were not things I relied on for, you know, my livelihood. Though to the untrained observer, they would appear as toys. To me, they are objects of nightmarism, because I now have to deal with them. Because once you start adding cool technological pieces to your repertoire, you can't just take them out, right? I can't just stop using a Elgato Stream Deck. I got this neat HDMI multi-switcher, so I can switch between HDMI sources and scenes on a little miniature monitor. So I'm going to try to do some stuff with that.
That is what it's they just say regarding fun and popping. Chris, are you here?
I am here.
Okay,
hi,
Jake.
Chris.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks Chris for having
Kraft.
Me.
Chris Kraft, this one's for you. You ready?
All right, I'm ready.
There you go. That's for you.
I just got smacked in the face. Is that what that was?
Yeah, that's what that was, dude.
It just sounded like...
You got beat down, KG. Just the one thing to know. The one thing to know is that you can't hear the sound effects as well as the audience can. The audience hears them crystal. Discord, no matter how hard you try to disable all of their little quote unquote helpful stuff, you just can't do it. So you can't just disable all of the little noise suppression things.
I didn't even know those things existed on here.
Yeah, they're all under the hood. You don't have to worry about it for the purpose of what you're doing, but when you've got like a stupid soundboard going and whatever, it's gonna compress the heck out of all the stuff that doesn't just immediately sound like a human voice, I guess. All software generally is built presuming that the user is some kind of a scrub, you know. And to those among us who have decided to devote and dedicate time to not being a scrub anymore, it becomes a little bit of a sadness.
Mid scrub levels.
Yeah, it's just stay scrub, dude.
Yeah, I don't need the extra pressures of non-scrubdom.
Being unscrubbed, your microphone sounds pretty decent, so that's good. Good for you.
Good. I paid decent money for it.
How much you pay?
I'm more of a swab than a scrub.
I can't remember. I think it was like
a million.
120. It is a Samsung G-Track Pro.
I love Samsung because it's not Samsung.
I know it's really confusing. I can get up close and I can sound like that.
That's Chris. Well,
deal with this, Chris Graham. What do you think of this? Trash Can is here.
I'm in my closet right now. I just got out of a really hot shower and I just can't stop sweating.
Nice.
I'm on my sofa and I just got out of a coffin. I woke up in a coffin full of dirt.
You better get back in. The sun's still out.
Unshower. Kurt, sun's not out here.
My
Jerry,
mic costs more and sounds worse. So that's what I'm working with.
Ooh. Yeah, well, we have a little abbreviation for that sort of situation.
I suggested a Samsung G-Track Pro for you too, Brandon.
It's hard to pronounce, but it's written KBLMAO. Kablamao. That is how you owned yourself by spending more and getting less quality.
Someone once said that sometimes things that are expensive are worse.
I'm not gonna lie. My goal in this podcast is to surreptitiously sponsor everyone except Brandon for high quality audio setup.
So we can tag all the brands when we're promoting on Twitter at Samsung.
So as to diminish the quality of his signal. to a point where everyone else sounds more authoritative.
Speaking of this podcast.
Oh my God. I just saw a really good George Wallace tweet. Did you all see this tweet where he says wizard hats and dunce caps are too similar. I'm sick and tired of thinking I'm hanging with a darn wizard, but it turns out to be a dunce and they can barely do a single magic spell. And it has clapping hands emojis between all the words and it's all capital letters.
That's very good.
That's not true.
That's really, he's sick and tired of thinking he's hanging out with a wizard, but it turns out to be a dunce. They can barely do a single magic spell.
He's so good at Twitter.
Yeah, he's one of the best.
Do you know what I'm drinking out of right now? I'm drinking out of a Halo 3 promotional Slurpee cup. I don't know if anyone got those back in the day, but...
No, didn't get them, no. I wasn't living in this.
You did get that Halo 3 Slurpee.
I feel like we should do the show. It's been 10 minutes.
Yeah, who cares, man? Light it up.
You're going to get some good clips out of this.
Nice. I think we will. Yeah. Very nice.
Let's do what we can, Jerry.
All right.
I was about to say, I hope there's a break. Man, I just died. I'm over here trying to avoid Googling stuff about these systems by playing the Goemon game on the original PlayStation, the last one that was released in 2001 to tie in with
I think
the
a little
anime.
Bit of sound was leaking out from you playing
the game.
That's
probably from my headphones. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I got to go to the
bathroom. Yeah. Okay. I'll be back as well. My PlayStation just locked up.
Well, I'm back. So, how you like your new house?
Oh, it's great. There were 3 baby deer in my driveway this morning.
Oh, did you tell them I said what's up?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good. They know me, so it's cool.
Yeah, deer, birds, and stuff all the time.
You got to watch out for those guys in the late evening.
Oh, yeah. They just kind of stop in front of the car, and they're dumbasses.
Mm-hmm. They're just there. Because I many friends in the Berkeley Hills through my high school days, and so I would be driving up there to play Tekken 3 or whatever we were doing, and then drive back home, and they would just be like, "Yep, we're standing here in this road."
Yeah.
Sincerely, a bunch of deer.
Yep.
They'll just look at you, but I was always like, I don't know, they got to live somewhere. I'm glad it's nice to see them
so far.
Yeah, once you have a garden, they're going to be like, ooh, taste.
Well, there's like hills of green stuff that's right behind the house. And so from our bedroom window, they're just kind of hanging out on these hills.
Well, still, if you get a garden, they will come in there because tender shoots are what they like the most.
I think we just narrowly missed the dark and edgy Winnie the Pooh discussion a couple weeks ago.
Oh no, what was that?
Oh, because Winnie the Pooh is public domain, so it's time to make a creepy game about it.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Someone could make a horror game about that. That's true. Like, every horror game has some, well, not everyone. So many have some, like, kind of like twee doll or something ends up, taking over,
like, and the whole ring around the rosy bit where, like, you're walking through an abandoned playground. Yeah,
it sounds like you're in a sewer tunnel though, because of the reverb.
Who, me? Yeah,
no
in the thing. Yes. Okay. Yeah, all right.
There was that game that what's his name, Ben Esposito and some other people made this game that was like pretty transparently, and I'm not saying this in a mean way, it was pretty transparently like trying to cash in on that kind of,
sure,
on that kind of game being popular, and it's called Tattletale. I don't know if you've seen that one.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's basically just like there's like a little the trailer for it is great, but there's just like this little
Furby. Is this the Furby thing. Game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, very like, I can make a Five Nights at Freddy's too.
Yeah. Well, and it got enough attention to where I remember there's a point at Glitch City in LA where they were logging on to the Roblox servers to play the fan games of Tattletales, of which there were like multiple. So it had like gotten enough attention from like, some streamers to have fan games made by like 11 year olds or whatever.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the sweatiest, plastickiest attempt to cash in on that like Twitch horror twee wave is that Hello Neighbor game.
Yes, you mentioned that one before, and that game is a menace to society.
I can't stop seeing it. I can't believe it's still like a thing.
You are haunted by visions
the marketing team behind Hello Neighbor. That's scarier to me than the game itself.
They made a second one. They might have even made it into like a full.
Yeah.
It could be one of those things where they have like, you know, like stuffed plushies or whatever. Because they've had like, I heard somebody say that they saw merchandise for this game called Baldi's Basics, which is another one of those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know this one too.
Yeah. Apparently they saw merchandise for it in the Target at Target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw that as well.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that popular.
Yeah, before the pandemic, a friend of mine and I would just kind of go to the Target once a week to see what was on display in the like game toy section. And even then, we were seeing that Baldi's Basics stuff show up.
I should go. I should find that section because I go to Target pretty much every other week.
Yeah, it's interesting to see what they're pushing in that aisle. Hey, Brandon, we're talking about toy tie-ins to video games and the current state of them.
Interesting. Chris Kohler was talking recently about the state of toys in the toy aisle and how it's just literally exactly the things from his childhood. It's just like the actual Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from that time. The He-Man toys from that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
the
wild.
Mego stuff.
Is there like a specific brand that does like throwback 30 years ago kind of stuff? Is that
Mego.
Oh. Not like the artist Migos, but
no, not the artist Migos. And not Sigur Rós. Not third thing. Help me out here.
Mego toys.
I'll it's look. A me ghost.
Good enough.
Oh, okay. Right. I see what you mean.
I just sent Tim a DM on here.
Yeah, he was here briefly, and then he said he'd be right back. So I guess he'll be right back.
I forgot because I was doing stuff.
Wow, this is uncanny. Like, these really do look like it's M-E-G-O. These really do look like...
Yeah, it's the company that made them originally. They're still doing it.
Oh, wow.
It's a revival line.
I mean, I guess it makes sense because a lot of those action figures actually sell, like the original versions actually sell for kind of higher prices than you would expect. So it makes sense that if there's a demand for it, of course, they're going to make more of those in that mold.
People want the toys from their past.
I mean, it's why I know Square like makes a handful, still manufactures like a handful of PS1 discs for things. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, I think almost all of those are gone now. But yeah, they did for quite a while. I bought a few of them.
Because it would be like a good idea to do, especially like now, like, I don't know, the prices are so high on the retro game market stuff. But yeah.
All right. Well, I see there are 5 rules when it comes to Tattletale, according to the back of the box. Rule number 1, obey Tattletale's mischievous demands. We good on that count?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we're good there.
All right. Rule number 2, feed, brush, and recharge Tattletale, or he'll never shut up. You got that?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Rule number 3, here's where it starts to get complicated. Shake your flashlight to charge it, but be careful, someone might hear.
Yeah, I don't really understand that one. I don't know why I need to shake my flashlight.
It's a kinetic energy sort of thing.
Mm.
I'm not sure what the mechanics are behind it.
Okay. Mm.
All right. Number 4, do not wake up Mama Tattletale, which feels like feels irresponsible considering you were just told that we have to shake our flashlights to charge them.
Well, and then also Tattletale almost never shuts up.
Yeah, yeah. Tattletale never shuts up, and then don't wake Mama Tattletale. Finally, rule number 5, do not make loud noises near Mama Tattletale. Now, you would think that was implied by rule number 4, but this one is in all caps as if to emphasize the fact that it's especially important.
Yeah, I think you can tell what the hook of this game is. It pretty much says right there.
Ah, it's Don't Wake Daddy.
Yeah. Well, it's weird how like terrifying the theme of Don't Wake Daddy actually is, like for a board game. I mean, I know that that's a thing with children's media. They take something that is actually terrifying in premise and make it seem not as terrifying. for children, but still, like,
then they take something that isn't terrifying and make it terrifying for as we were just discussing. Yes, that's how you do it. You make a thing the other thing.
Liz, like, I put that link in there where you can see all the weird changes of the new disc, the new versions of those.
Okay, let me look.
Okay, well, Tim's got to work on his microphone, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is weird, because I did hear him, like, for a second, but it dropped out.
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't know. I've had probably an audio interface thing. I've had all kinds of weird microphone problems before.
Microphone. Maybe they should make those phones a little bigger. It wouldn't have so much problems.
Yeah. The problem is that micro technology. Yeah.
I think you'd be great on Live at the Improv in 1992, Brandon.
You know it.
Yeah. We got to get some of them macrophones.
What's the deal with microphones? They're normal size.
I feel like the fact that I watched terrible TV in the 90s and Whose Line Is It Anyway? And I don't know, Kids in the Hall is it's probably like
Kids in the Hall annoyed is not
I terrible. Am at Vaudeville. No, it's not. I love it.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I see. I see.
Yeah. Terrible in terms of like brain infestation. Like they're stuck in there forever. But that's probably like I strongly dislike vaudeville and stuff, but I bet in a few years people are gonna really hate my jokes because of how tied to that era they are.
To the vaudeville era?
No, mine are tied to the 90s era.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately our audience isn't getting any younger. So I think
yeah. Thank goodness.
Well, let me tell you, I took the trolley the other day, folks.
That's right.
They'll get you down in whatever town.
I'll tell you, my mother-in-law is so thrifty.
I was watching a movie that had very amusing translation that was quite literal. And there was one thing that was really funny, but I couldn't find a way to make a joke about it that wouldn't be insulting to a bunch of people. So let me see if I can find it here.
Well, isn't that what 90s comedy is all about? Isn't your hero Andrew Dice Clay, Brandon?
Oh, God. Anyway, this was the one, like, it's full of stuff like this. And I was like, this is fat phobic. I can't put it up here, but, I couldn't make a dedicated joke about it, but it's, so many dumb things in this.
Wait, what is this from again? Sorry.
It's from a, what do you call it? It's from a Kung Fu movie called, Evil Cult Master.
Mm.
Oh.
So, and it has all these little, I'll paste a couple more. Got a lot of little bad.
1993 Hong Kong Wuxia film adapted from Louis Cha's novel, The Heaven Sword and Dragon Saber.
Unlike all those good cult masters.
Yeah, so check out these other ones. I have tons of...
Oh, I saw these too. Yeah, those were like, good posts.
It is not your turn to criticize. Oh, I like that one.
Like, at a certain That's point, useful. I had to stop taking photos of the screen because it was just like every 2 seconds there was something good. Like, there's a picture of a guy lying down saying, "Master, we are so tired. We lost our energy." I'm like, yeah, dude. And it really works with the photos. I highly recommend getting that terrible version of this. Well,
this stars Jet Li.
It stars Jet Li, yeah. And it did not do very well, apparently. So they didn't, what do you call it? It was supposed to be a trilogy, and it failed out of that existence, sadly. Only the first one got made, but it was good. It's stupid. It's ridiculous.
I need to watch more like Hong Kong.
Yeah. It's hard to find them on like streaming stuff.
It's hard to find them anywhere. And that's why I've been purchasing them on DVD recently.
Yeah.
There's a little angst that's going on within the Western fandom of Hong Kong films, because there's a fear that China will not want to reissue these movies, many of which may paint the mainland in a negative light.
Yeah.
And the only, there's like some stuff getting reissued on Blu-ray in the UK only, but almost nothing's coming out over here. and it, like all the big Jet Li and Jackie Chan movies will be safe, but like weird stuff
is
like 20 years out of print at this point.
I've been wanting to see more movies by God, what is his fucking name? I need to look this up actually, because
you mean
I
Chungking have... Express guy probably?
No, I've seen a lot of his movies. God, I'm gonna look at my watch list on Letterboxd so I remember this.
Do it.
I've been really bad at remembering names of people lately, especially lately. It's been so bad.
I can't remember no nothing.
I can't remember no nothing.
Yep.
What was that movie? Did he do a movie called Once Upon a Time in China? I think that's...
You would talk about Choi Hark?
Yeah, Choi Hark, yeah. I've wanted to see a few of his movies seemed interesting to me. There's one about like a few women who are like assassins or whatever. That's the one that I wanted to see, but because it just like the subject matter seemed interesting to me.
Let's see. I'm real mixed on him. I feel like he had a couple good movies, but he... At one point, he like forgot how to direct action or something. It's very strange.
How do you forget something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. Or he's trying to be adventurous in a way that didn't work. But I'm
that
currently
is very possible.
Kind of trying to watch. What do you call it? Trying to watch Seven Swords right now. Actually, I'm in the middle of it, which is a movie of his, and it's just like everything's so floppy in it. It's very strange.
Peking Opera Blues is what I was thinking of. That's the one.
Okay.
Yeah. I've had that one recommended by somebody. So yeah, but I wanted to see that one.
Well, another one I'm about to watch is I Love Maria, which I'll show you this. Let's see if you can. It's probably impossible not to want to watch this movie.
You see, I thought that Seven Swords was a prequel to The King's Speech, and is it this... was actually Seven's Words about Henry the VII.
Nice.
Is this like a weird cash-in for like, you know, RoboCop and Terminator?
Yeah, it's like a RoboCop Terminator, but there's some mechs. I mean, I guess there is in RoboCop. Yes, it is. And he's uncredited as the director, and it's like some kind of weird sci-fi thing. Came out in Japan as RoboForce.
RoboForce.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, I got that one on DVD recently because there was a sale that was going on.
Yeah, I know that a lot of those films had just various bootleg DVD releases in the West.
Yeah, this is part of the problem. Like, I wanted to watch The Heroic Trio, which is, it's got Michelle Yeoh, Maggie Cheung, and Anita Mui as various people with powers who have to unite to save some babies that are being captured for some cult reason, whatever.
It's captured by baby cannibals, we'll just say.
I mean, there was some cannibalism in there. The movie was unfortunately not very good, but I bought it on eBay, and then when it arrived, I was like, oh, this is a bootleg. And I messaged them, and they're like, we had no idea. So I got it for free. But it's just hard to tell because there was so much bootlegging. So you got to get like an original Tai Seng version or Fortune Star makes the good ones in Hong Kong. Those are often anamorphic widescreen.
Have any of those like been released by those like, you know, boutique labels in the West, like Vinegar Syndrome or whatever they're called?
Yeah, so like Vinegar Syndrome has done some a little bit, but it's mostly Arrow, and they're UK.
I see.
Yeah, and there have been some boutique releases like... in the past, there was a company called Dragon Dynasty that was doing a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
And those versions are okay. They're like watchable, but that company is also gone. And so some of their stuff is like all their stuff's out of print, and some of it is plentiful. Others are not. So
yeah, I know
it's a weird vibe.
I know with a lot of those boutique videos, they're very limited run, but like if they do any restoration or something, then presumably like at least the video files are out there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, the piracy world has access to them. Yep. Well, I can recommend the movie Royal Warriors, if you ever find that one.
Royal Warriors.
Warriors.
I'll add it on Letterboxd.
Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
Royal Warrior.
It's also known as Yes, Madam.
It was released in Japan as Royal Quest.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Royal Warriors is Michelle Yeoh, Hiroyuki Sanada and Michael Wong, and it's Michelle Yeoh is so young in this movie. She's
man,
like,
I love young Michelle Yeoh movies.
She's a young lady, and she's wearing sweaters, and there's Hondas everywhere. They have a fight in like a neon place, neon club with smoke and everything going on. It's just like, and every new fight has some dumb gimmick. It's great.
That sounds good. I added it to my watch list.
I love Wing Chun. Tai Chi master.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing how many movies she's been in, according to mm-hmm. her.
She's been in a heck load of movies, that lady.
Yeah.
Tell you what.
She was in Minions, The Rise of Gru.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I just looked at that. I saw a big Minions poster, as well as Kung Fu Panda 2.
And anytime.
There's a movie called Boss Level.
Oh, yeah.
Oh boy.
Anytime there's a photo like this in a movie, I'm like, well, that's like bait for me, is to have a harshly blue lit from one side but red on the other. It's so cheap, but like it gets me every time.
Oh, good there news. Mel Gibson is in Boss Level.
Oh,
a
excellent
movie that came out last year.
Yeah, so you know it's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's good if Mel Gibson was in it in the last like 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to get hold of a copy.
Put that
in
the top of my watch list.
Of Righting Wrongs. Righting Wrongs is the movie where you may have seen the fight scene between Cynthia Rothrock and Karen Shepherd.
Yeah, I think you might have posted that clip at some point.
Yeah, definitely. But I don't own a copy of it, sadly. Well, it looks like Tim's in the danger zone.
Yeah.
He's on the highway to it, at the very least.
Tim, what do you think? You want to give up for now? And it looks like you tried a bunch of stuff. I don't want to frustrate you into oblivion.
Yeah, exactly.
Into Elder Scrolls oblivion.
Right. Through four Elder Scrolls. Right. That's too many Elder Scrolls to be frustrated through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One's difficult enough.
Yeah. I would have called it after Daggerfall.
Which one's that?
That's
the second one.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the first one's called Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Why don't we get Ash? And if you want, you can just jump in the middle of the episode if it starts working.
Yeah.
I'll see if she's available.
See if she's down to talk about Activision again.
Well, you know,
if not, we can skip it.
Activision is a company.
Oh, we can talk about it.
It's a company full of activists. I don't know if you knew that because it's in the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got an active vision.
I don't know if a lot of people know that. That's an original observation, I think.
Yeah, that's the kind of insight you'll only get here on the Insert Credit Show. In the bonus content that will hear.
Yeah, when people talk about activist games, they're like, I don't want games by activists. That means that they don't want games by Activision.
Yeah, that means they don't want Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's an activist game.
Right, right.
I already talked about those people, what do you call them? Activision, to Time.
Time?
Time Magazine.
Yeah, I don't know if it probably won't be in a magazine, but it'll probably be in a online article.
Well, if you're working with Time,
okay.
If you're working with Time and I'm working with Warner Brothers, then Liz, you need to work with AOL to complete the trilogy.
That's right.
Yeah, I can, considering they've been defunct for a long time, I think
should
I'm
be easy.
On with that. Yeah, should be easy.
They're desperate.
They're really desperate.
Yeah. If you approach them for anything, they'd be like, sure, man, we get any action we can see, we'll take it.
Why didn't they just keep AIM up? AIM is gone, right? They took AIM away.
Yeah.
They took AIM.
I mean, they could have transitioned that into like a phone messaging app.
They took AIM and fired everybody.
Yeah. Too bad they spent all that money on that weird futurist with funny hair guy. Remember that?
Huh?
Oh, is that a Marvel reference?
No, it is not.
Oh. I know just enough about Marvel to know that there's an evil organization called AIM, and they work with MODOK.
Oh.
The mechanical organism designed only for killing.
You don't remember Shingy?
Oh, Shingy, yeah.
There we go.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
That
gosh.
Guy.
Remember
that
this?
Guy's like the freaking ancient aliens
the
guy.
The digital prophet.
Yeah.
Oh man, I totally forgot about Chingy the Digital Prophet.
And what's wild is that was only 2016. I thought that was much longer ago.
Oh wow, that's surprising. I would have thought, yeah, I would have thought that would be a few years older than that.
Yeah.
Nope. Chingy.
That's that guy.
He's
wow, Chingy. What's Chingy
like,
up to?
He's like Shigeru Miyamoto, except he's like, I'm gonna take his nickname, but I'm gonna replace one letter.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm gonna put an N in there for Nintendo.
Yeah, sort of extra Nintendo.
All right. He stayed on at Oath and later Verizon Media after AOL's purchase by Verizon, and he left in 2019.
He got 3 years out of being a nonsense man.
Yeah. I wonder what he's doing now, David Ching.
He's probably very into NFTs, if I had to guess.
Oh, you know what? That absolutely tracks.
I'm going to look him up on Twitter.
All right.
I read some article about AIM that it was like done by some random employee of AOL and they didn't even necessarily support it, which makes sense because it's like the best thing that they ever did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was seen at an event called Blockchain World last December. So
there you go.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Not too hard to guess that one.
No.
No.
Yeah, that was that's kind of a slow ball.
Oh, it's an easy one.
There is a guy who owns an ape.
Yeah. Well, we probably should figure out what we're doing. I haven't heard back from Ash yet.
Okay. If it's just the two of you, I have a wacky alternate concept we can do.
Okay. I've got... Okay. Let's give Ash a few more minutes because not everyone checks their DMs in half a second.
That's true.
That's a good point.
But yeah, the other thing I could do, let's see, what did Matthew say? He was busy, but why? Was he busy but forever?
But why?
Oh yeah, he said can't do today. Shame. Love being on, and the last episode was so annoying, LOL.
Yeah.
The entire episode,
is that the one where you ranked consoles?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay, why did you even put PC on there? Like, did you just do that to be annoying?
Frank did.
I gave you all a veto.
I should have vetoed
it. I started with a definition of what consoles are because I saw this happening and I was doing everything within my power to keep it from happening and none of you stopped it.
Well, the reason I didn't do it is because I knew that Frank was going to be pouty for the rest of the episode if I did it. But what I didn't think about is that considering I was going to not like it and complain about it, he was going to be pouty for the rest of the episode anyway. So
put like PC on number 10 out of 20 or something? It's like, what is even the point of it being on the list?
Yeah. I should have just vetoed it.
It's like, oh yes, the WonderSwan color is better than the PC, which can play like...
That's what I think.
What is this list even saying? I really did not want the PC to be on there. I gave you all one veto to keep this from happening. Yeah. I myself did not have the power to stop it as the moderator, but I gave you all the clues. I gave you all the tools.
You're right. I messed up. I should have done it.
They really screwed the pooch on that one.
Yeah.
I guess probably what would have wound up happening is like Frank would have vetoed the PC Engine or something.
Yeah.
Well,
and
that's fine.
He would have been right too. That would have been a fair sacrifice to get the PC off the list.
Honestly, yeah, I think the PC Engine belongs more than the WonderSwan color though. I don't know if it's actually on there. I just
it's on there.
Oh, okay. Because more people actually played the PC Engine.
The ZX Spectrum made it on there somehow.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then so you're pissing off every single person from the UK who is... Mm-hmm. Well, you did a UK Games episode, so I'll give you guys that.
Right.
Yeah, we did. And people from the UK seemed to enjoy it. Also, they like making fun of themselves.
They thought it was very cracking or whatever.
Cracking is the word for it, yes.
Yeah, they thought it was cracking. They thought it was cracking.